We're reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot. This is volume 2. This is page 453 if you have the book. The Ten Sefirot of the World of Nikudim, the Order of Cause and Effect, item 8. We'll remind you that you can ask questions on Kab.TV. Relevant questions may be aired during the lesson. Item 8. The eighth operation. The eighth operation is the ten sefirot of Yosher in Prinat Rosh of the Kav. It extends by the histaklut of the light during the Tzimtzum. For it is the fifth operation. However, they do not connect and clothe to be roots to the Pratzuf except through the returning light in the above-mentioned seventh operation, relating to its clothing on them from below upward. Again, item 8.
The eighth operation is the ten sefirot of Yosher in the Rosh of the Kav. It extends by the istalkut of the Or during the Tzimtzum. For this is the fifth operation. However, they do not connect and clothe to be the roots to the Partsuf, except through the Or Chozer in the above-mentioned seventh operation, relating to its halbasha on them from below upward. That's clear, right? Because you're the point of restriction of the Tzimtzum, and from the Tzimtzum onward starts the next action on how to receive in order to bestow. There are many actions between the Tzimtzum, because Tzimtzum is a complete distancing from receiving the light, and afterwards the decision. So how could I still fill the host to equalize to him, to adhere to the host, and then I can do it only with receiving the light. But again, I can only receive only through adhesion in order to bestow. So there's many calculations until we find a solution on what it means to receive in order to bestow. Because on one hand, it's reception. On the other hand, it's bestowing. And then I receive in the same vessels or not? They say no. You receive an Or Chozer. Now it's Masach and Or Chozer, reflected light. That becomes a vessel. It's a will to receive, and that's only the condition that by it you implement your giving. So there's a change in the approach here. It's a new ideology that the created being doesn't agree with the previous approach where he filled his desire, thought of his desire, but he was, now he thinks about the desire of the host and fill his desire. He himself, with his desires, intentions, Tzimtzum, Masach, everything he has, he just puts himself in a way that he can serve the host. What can he give the host? Nothing to give. The host is complete, he's whole. So what do we give to the Creator when we receive in order to bestow? Where are those vessels of his that he is suffering and now we're filling them? That's the question. Please. Which vessels are we filling in the Creator by receiving in order to bestow? Where is that emptiness that I'm filling? As much as I'm enjoying the reception from Him, by that I'm filling Him. Where is that Him? Rav, we're all speaking together. I'm speaking together. Okay, so I'm speaking together by integrating in the friends. And that's it. I feel the friends' desires. The Creator only has one deficiency to bestow to everybody. And we want to help him implement that desire to receive from him in order to bestow. On behalf of the created being, the Creator isn't whole. He didn't create him. And on behalf of the Creator, the light is in complete stillness. So by doing what we're supposed to, we increase the thought of creation 613 times more. What vessels are we filling in the Creator by receiving in order to bestow? Where is this emptiness that I'm filling? I don't think there could be an emptiness in the Creator. There is no emptiness in the Creator. It is all in our reflection in the Creator. We feel the correct attitude towards Him. Meaning even agreeing that He's filling me, let's say, in my body, so in the goof. So the Rosh wants to be aware of this and not just being activated. But the one who is adhered to the emanator, giving him that pleasure, not the pleasure itself. In the vessel of bestowal, we actually give contentment to the Creator. And fill that part that is still in our vessel, but it's a vessel with a new intention, with a masach. It has a filling that its purpose is to give contentment.
Perhaps it means that we can fulfill him by being fulfilled with connection. When we feel a connection between us, when we make the effort to realize the connection, to seek the Creator through that connection between us, and we're happy in that revelation, then we fulfill Him by that, we correct the shattering.
Well, this workshop is a mess. Anyway, the Or Chozer is the vessel where you can give something back to the Creator in.
So, I hear Alex, I hear the friends, I integrate with the deficiencies of the friends, and it takes me out of myself, and then in that attitude when I discover that the whole Kli is outside of me.
Item 9, the ninth operation is the Itpashtut of Malchut with the Or Chozer in her, from above downward into Tochen Sof. It extends from the Masach in the Malchut of Rosh. She is considered moving from potential to actual, because the same measure of rejection and measure of the Itlipshut that emanated by the force of the Masach in the 10 Sefirot of Rosh were only in the potential. In fact, there are neither rejection nor Hidlapshut there. Rather, everything that is done in the 10 Sefirot of Rosh in potential manifests later in the Toch En Sof called Guf, in actual fact. The measure of the Or that the Or Chozer clothed in the Rosh in potential, in that same measure, the Or Elyon is found to clothe the Guf de facto. The Sitlapshut is called the Toch of the Guf from Peh to Tabu. The siyum that the masach made in the 10 sfirot of Rosh and potential, meaning the b'chinat haka'ah made on the Or Elyon, not letting it expand into b'chinat dalet, appears in the guf de facto from Tabur down to Siyum Raglin. This is called the sof part of the partzuf. Thus, from Siyum Raglin of the partzuf downward, the middle point appears in actual fact. As the masach drops the Or Elyon there altogether and leaves a vacant space with no light. Hence, the toch of the guf considered the position of the first 9 sfirot. And the sof of the guf is regarded as the sfirat malchut alone, meaning b'chinat limitation and the power of the siyum in her. Thus the 9th operation and the 10th operation have been explained. Again, item 9. The 9th operation is the Tpashtut, the expansion of the Malchut with the Or Chozer in her from above downward in Toch and Sof.
So after Malchut made the Zivug Daka and raised the returning light from below upwards, the 10 Sfirot of direct light clothed in the 10 Sfirot of returning light, and the Rosh of the Partzuf was formed. This means the 10 Sfirot of direct light dress into the 10 Sfirot of returning light. Then what happens?
She extends from the Masach and the Malchut de Rosh and considered moving from potential to actual, because the same measure of rejection and measure of itlepshut that emanated by the force of the Masach and the 10 Sfirot de Rosh were only in potential. In fact, there are neither rejection nor itlepshut there. Rather, everything that is done in the 10 Sfirot of Rosh in potential manifests later in the Toch and Sof, called Guf, in the actual fact.
First, let's see. What does it mean, rejection and clothing? Seemingly opposite actions. I reject or I clothe. What actions do we see in the Rosh that are actually opposite to each other? How much do I reject and how much do I clothe? How do I make the calculation? Rejecting, I reject everything from receiving in order to receive. Each and every detail of what I get from the upper light that is apparent at the Rosh. Why can it appear in the Rosh? Because I'm standing on the restriction, which is already a Masach. And then beyond the restriction, I also reject the light from clothing in me in a way that it was before the Tzimtzum. After I completely reject it, I then begin to make a calculation. How much can I nevertheless receive according to my new calculation, which means bringing contentment to my maker? Then I make the calculation, and according to that calculation, the light begins to shine at the Rosh, in the vessels of Rosh, according to my decision and calculation. So there is a series of calculations here, at the end of which the light, the direct light, clothes in the returning light. And that's called Rosh. Why? Because specifically in that action onwards, the expansion in the Toch of the Partzuf begins. The Toch of the Partzuf is being built. Beforehand, there is no Toch. There is just a restriction and that's it. Now, by building the Rosh, something that didn't exist in reality at all before, the Rosh. It didn't exist. Now, from the Rosh, I build the Guf, which also didn't exist, but there was a desire. Now, the desire that existed before the restriction, I build it as the Toch and Sof of the Partzuf. When I relate differently to the will to receive I have, in order to use it to bring contentment to the Creator. The Rosh doesn't bring any contentment. It only plans to. The actual contentment comes from the created being receiving in order to bestow. In receiving in order to bestow, it equalizes with the Creator and then attains adhesion actually at the Toch of the Potzuf. Next.
She extends from the Malchut de Rosh. She's considered moving from potential to actual, the same measure of rejection and the measure of Itlabshut that emanated by the force of the Masach and the ten Sefirot of the Rosh were only in potential. This is called the Toch of the Guf from Peh till Tabur. The Siyum that the Masach made in the ten Sefirot de Rosh in potential, meaning Prinat Aka'a, is made on the Or Elyon, not letting it expand into Prinat Dalet, appears in the Guf de facto from Tabur down to Siyum Raglin. This is called the Sof part of the Partzuf. Thus, from Siyum Raglin of the Partzuf downward, the middle point appears in actual fact, as the Masach stops the upper light there altogether, and leaves the vacant place, Chalal, without light. Hence, the Bchinat Toch of the Guf is considered the position of the first nine Sefirot, and the Bchinat Sof of the Guf is regarded as the Sefira of Malchut alone, meaning the aspect of limitation and the power of Siyum in her.
So, as much as I can receive in order to bestow, that's inside my Toch from the Peh to the Tabur. As much as I cannot receive in order to bestow, that remains empty of the upper light from receiving. But there lies the light of Chasadim, where I want to be in adhesion with the Creator in that part too, where I say I'm incapable. There's still a light of adhesion there, and that light is called light of Chasadim. Then, as a result of everything we had in the four phases of direct light, that became now a Partzuf. The Partzuf indicates to us the measure of adhesion, of accord between the Creator and the created being. Yes, Malik.
What does it mean that you can receive in order to give contentment to the host, to the Creator? What is that calculation? How can a vessel even measure in that way? To reject is clear, but this calculation that I'm receiving, that the vessel is receiving in order to give benefit to the Creator, where is that information from?
From the Rosh. What does the Rosh mean? The Rosh means the same vessels that existed in Ein Sof, all of them that went through everything they did in Ein Sof. And now they operate as a place where I plan, where I decide, where I examine, weigh, taste. Yes, no, this way, that way. This is all actions happening in the Rosh. In the Rosh, I have adhesion with the Creator. In potential, I want to do all my actions out of adhesion. And in order to realize the adhesion in practice, I plan for that only in the Rosh. And that's later what happens in the goof of the Patsuf. Whatever happens in the Rosh, happens in the goof. In the Rosh, I have all the will to receive the light, the actions in the four phases, restrictions, screens, whatever you want. It's all in the Rosh. What's the difference between the Rosh and the goof? That I take the same will to receive, the same four phases, everything I had. And now I examine, what can I do with that? So it's not just something airy-fairy that you can do without. No, the Rosh is the determining factor.
But what can you do?
What can you do? What do you mean? You can make it so that I examine that the Creator first created in me Prina Daled, the fourth phase. In Prina Daled, I attain how much he wants my benefit. He wants to fulfill me entirely. Then I suddenly feel that he created shame in me. So he didn't want me to receive everything in Prina Daled. What's going on? He wanted me to feel how opposite I am to him. Not by way of just giving and receiving, but in terms of the bestower and the receiver. So, unlike a dog, the Creator gives me an understanding. You're a receiver, and I'm the giver. And being a receiver is not a degree for you. So I'm giving you a sense of shame to help you become like me, a giver. And then what I do? Then I move from determining my situation according to how much I receive or not, according to my belly, how much I want. Now I'm going to receive or not receive according to the calculation of how similar I am to the Creator. So if not similarity with the Creator, I make a restriction. If I can receive from Him to be like Him, that part is what I'm going to take. And then I have a mechanism at the Rosh that checks, measures, how much can I receive to be in adhesion. Adhesion means equivalence of form. If I receive, I'm not in equivalence. If I receive in order to bestow, I am in equivalence. And all the calculations are at the Rosh. I have all the data for it. So according to what I had before and what I went through, I see the Creator actually wants that. He wants me to reach adhesion, where the will to receive and the pleasure and everything I went through, it was all just, how to put it, just in order for me to do the calculation about the dvikut, the adhesion, not the reception of the light, but adhesion with Him. So now I have a different formula for life altogether, where I make my accounts only according to the new data and the new result, adhesion. What do I need for it? What do I need for adhesion? What do I need to do? What do I need to receive? What calculations to make, but adhesion. Nothing besides that. I don't see anything besides that. Meaning from now on, I work according to a new formula, as if reprogramming myself.
Ken.
Yes.
Alexander from Moscow asks,
Alex from Moscow is asking, what is that vacant place beneath the seal?
I don't know. Yes.
Well, Leo from New York is asking, is it true saying that the rejection in the Rosh is that reflected light gives birth to the place in
again?
Light of Chassadim? Is it true to say that the rejection in potential in the Rosh, the Or Chozer, gives birth to the actual rejection in the Or Chassadim?
I don't really understand the rejection in the light of Chassadim, but the rejection in the Rosh begets these actions accordingly.
Tzimtzum is the parting of the light, and Masach is the rejection of the light.
The Masach is not just rejection, the Masach is a calculation. How much do I reject the direct light so as to invert it with my returning light that becomes a clothing for the direct light. And then both can be as a measure of bestowal. When I work with my will to receive and the direct light, in order to establish the screen and the returning light, and then both the direct light and the returning light, the screen and the will to receive, all work together inside the potsuf.
What's the difference between the light rejection and the rejection and the calculation that the masach does?
The departure of the light is a result that can happen by the masach, the tzimtzum, different actions. The departure is the result of an action.
Is there like a reality of tzimtzum with no masach for the reflected light?
Like the tzimtzum of the first restriction.
So there is such a thing?
There is a first restriction or not?
But right away the masach comes out, or is there another reality?
No, tzimtzum is not yet masach. Tzimtzum is tzimtzum. I restrict my will to receive from receiving. That's it. Doesn't it create a situation of lack of adhesion? Possibly, but that's already a different question. Yeah. I receive something, and I greatly enjoy what I receive. And suddenly it appears that I have received it from my enemy, let's say, someone who hates me. So immediately I feel a rejection. That's the restriction. I restrict myself. Meaning, we have to differentiate between all these actions. Look how he divides all of this here to so many actions. Is the restriction a one-time action, or it is a continuous action? I have to make the restriction each time before I establish the screen. There is no little in spirituality. I have to do all the actions from my will to receive all the way towards bestowal and adhesion. Yes. When the direct light hits the screen and then becomes returning light, what's added to the direct light as a result of the heating beating in the screen? The clothing, restriction and clothing. The upper light doesn't change its path, doesn't change its nature, but the clothing over it always changes. Restriction and masach and levushim, clothings that enable the direct light to be received in the will to receive, and it'll be in order to bestow. How many clothings do I need over a pleasure in order to have pleasure, and with it have a desire to enjoy, and the pleasure will enter the desire to enjoy, but by that I enjoy bestowing to the host, to the giver of the pleasure. How much I need to add to it? Make the calculation. There's a pleasure. I get a cake. Whatever, with whatever it has in it. I'm dying to get it, to enjoy it. Now, how can I take it so it's inside of me and that I will enjoy it? If I don't enjoy it, there's nothing there. I need to enjoy it, but with this pleasure, I also bring pleasure to the host, and I reach adhesion. Possibly, it's not the same thing, but I reach adhesion with him. What needs to be added? This is the calculation Malchut of Ein Sof makes after the Tzimtzum, in order to establish the Rosh of Galgalta. From the Rosh of Galgalta, things become easier. After that, it's just replications.
So Or Chozer isn't the Or Yashar that touches the Masach, it's something else.
Returning light and direct light are obviously completely different in direction and in general. In the returning light, you have all of the created beings' relation to the Creator, whereas in the direct light, you only have the relation of the Creator to the created being. Yeah?
What's the difference between the action of the Masach and the Rosh? Does the Rosh also...
The Rosh does a lot of things. There's nothing in the goof that is not in the Rosh. The Rosh works in a way that it has everything. All of the four phases of direct light and Tzimtzum and calculations, it's all in the Rosh. Because what does the body receive or doesn't receive? A part of it is clothed or not clothed. The most important is the Rosh, where the created being makes the calculation and expresses its desire for the Creator, attitude to the Creator. You can say, yeah, but adhesion happens in the goof. True, adhesion happens in the goof. But that's already a result of the Rosh.
But what is in the Rosh that isn't in the Masach? And what's in the Masach that isn't in the Rosh? What separates these two things?
I don't even want to answer that. What do you mean, Rosh and Masach? The Rosh is not just the Masach. There's 10 sefirot of direct light, 10 sefirot of returning light, calculations between them, the interference pattern, sort of the integration between these lights. It's many things. What do you mean it's just the Masach? The Masach is a condition, that's true, that I now want to reach the equivalence of form. But after that, you've got a lot of calculations. What do you mean? It's the Rashim, Rosh of Atzilut, the... We study this over many pages. The 13 corrections of Dikna, the corrections of Resha, the hidden Rosh, revealed Rosh. It's all about the Rosh, the parts of the Rosh. In the goof, it's like a declaration. I kind of declare how to say it. I show that I want it. If you only plan in the Rosh, it doesn't say anything. But if you have the goof, now we see what you thought. It's like we see things in practice. Look what he's doing. Probably he wanted and planned to do so and so. Meaning, it's impossible without the goof, but the goof simply indicates, reflects what happened in the Rosh.
In tests, a lot of time it's confusing. It was, it's happening, it will be. But we're always learning two things. That the purpose of creation is the revelation of the Creator to its created being, and all of humanity is one created being. So is this a process that all of humanity has to go through, revealing the Creator, shame, Masach, that's what's waiting for us?
What's waiting for us is only good. First of all, and if it's good, we don't care that it'll be a lot of it.
That it's written, they will all know me from big to small, so it's all of humanity?
The whole of humanity will need to somewhat acknowledge the whole of creation. You don't have a cell in the body that is not connected with and feeling the whole body. It's an entire, complete mechanism. And therefore, any littlest soul attains all the souls and the whole process, but to the extent of its role in the body. What will happen at the final correction, that I don't know. That is already a different mind, a different calculation. It's different aspects. We can't understand it.
Peter.
Yes, Peter.
Question from Volodya. How do you build the Rosh in the Ten? And how am I integrated in that Rosh in the Ten?
In the Ten, we have Rosh and Guf. The Rosh in the Ten is our common intention, where we all decide, we all want, we all anticipate. That's all our Rosh. And from the Rosh comes the action, which is the Guf. So the Rosh is with respect to our prayer, the reception of the result from the prayer, what to do about it, and so forth. It's all Rosh and Guf, Rosh and Guf, many actions like that. But both the Rosh and the Guf, the all of our inclinations, it's one Rosh. All our desires is one body, Guf. This is called a ten, or a soul, or a group. Gershon, yes.
Question about the Tzimtzum. When a vessel receives and enjoys the reception, and then he sees that he's receiving from his hater, as you said, what can help them determine and restrict the pleasure?
Only adhesion with the group. It has to be a complete kli, then he'll feel it. Yes. Quickly.
We learn that the light is a phenomena in the vessel. So if I understood correctly, direct light is a phenomena in the vessel in Malchut of Ein Sof, that towards it always a calculation is made.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
There are many questions. I'll ask one.
No, you're not going to get many now. One quick one.
Is the Tzimtzum gradual? And is it on all 613 desires?
All 613 desires, all each and every action, we have to make a restriction and then calculation, etc.
So it's gradual?
Call it gradual. Oh, yes. Eventually, all the restrictions, all the calculations, the direct lights, the returning lights, it all boils down to Rav Pali Mekabtziel at the end of all corrections. We are moving to, what can we do? We are moving to the next part.